The University Art Museum, the State University of New York, University at Albany, is currently showing Day After Day, The Diaristic Impulse. The exhibition explores the personal and immediate act of documenting day-to-day life in ways that only the artistic mind could manage. Janet Riker, director of the University Art Museum, joins us to tell us more. Also joining us, our good friend Ed Schwarzschild, associate professor at the University at Albany and a fellow at the New York State Writers Institute. A short story by Ed entitled For the Record is included in the exhibition catalog. Tonight, Ed and author Scott Hutchins will give a reading at the museum. A lot going on, a lot to talk about, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Janet Riker and Ed Schwarzschild to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Delighted to be here.
Thanks for having us, Joe.
You're both such great friends of the show. You've both been here. Janet, maybe you're not always here because you're out with Sarah, bringing her into the...
That's true.
The byways and hallways of the museum. But it's a delight to have you both back. I think this is... When I heard about this, of what you were doing, I got very excited because just the idea is so cool. How did that come about?
Well, it really came about because Corinna Rips-Shamming, who curated the exhibition, began to see a number of artists' works that really turned around this idea of the journal or the diary. And so we talked about it, and we both agreed that it was a really fascinating idea. And so then the real kind of research began into whether we could find enough artists whose work was interesting and really related to each other in an interesting way to illuminate the idea in a fuller way. So that's sort of the evolution of the exhibition concept.
Because there is the merging of the word and art, yes?
Absolutely. And I think what's fascinating is that, you know, many of the artists in the show, their work kind of reveals aspects of journaling or diary keeping, like the documenting of day-to-day activities or reflecting on past acts or travels or kind of capturing the moment. And those are the same reasons that people keep journals or diaries in a written form.
So in the exhibit, and we'll be having a gallery tour later on in the show that you take with Sarah. But as far as the exhibit, so was there a matching? You wanted to match things, or is it just an ongoing presentation? In the sense of match art with the written word?
No, I think it's more that we really felt the notion of having a short story included in the exhibition and have a reading this evening really sort of provides, you know, another context for the exhibition, another way of engaging with the work and exploring those ideas in a fuller sense.
Ed Schwarzschild, as I mentioned, has written For the Record, which is both in the catalog, and I assume what you'll be reading tonight?
Correct.
And how did this come to be?
It was from a conversation with Corinna, the curator. She called me up one day, and she started to talk about the exhibit, and we met, and she showed me some of the work, and I wasn't exactly sure why. And then she asked me if I would want to write a story that responded to the artwork in the show. And as soon as I saw the work, it just generated all kinds of ideas, and it was a really fun story to write.
You looked at the work as a whole or selected pieces?
She showed me pieces that she was thinking of. She was still putting this show together, so she hadn't assembled everything, but she had some old catalogs from other exhibits, and she had some things on her. She just had her iPad, I guess, and she was showing me some of the images there. And David Shapiro's work I had seen before, and I've always resonated strongly with it. And the new stuff that he's done, where he reproduces the receipts of everything he's purchased in an entire year in painstaking detail, it's just hauntingly beautiful. And having those images started the story going in my head.
And the work is February 70 Bills, and it's just cool because it looks like quite normal.
When you see it in the show, he has a scroll for each month where he's taken every single receipt from things he's ordered in the mail to parking tickets to whatever he has had to write a check for that month. And there are 12 scrolls. I think there are two in the show,
yeah.
But they have the they look almost like a Torah in a way because they're these giant scrolls. They're just hauntingly beautiful.
So how does that inspire you in the writing? And is it something that is in the back of your mind and it inspires you in some way? I realize there's no good answer for this. I mean, it's impossible to describe what it is that you do. But right. Is it something in the forefront or in the background? You say, oh, okay, well, this is how I want to feel and sort of expand on this.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And it's one of those... It's one of those both ands, you know. It's not
right.
It's not either or. It's both of those things. The things that were in the forefront right away were those Shapiro images. But then the Laura Nakadate images of the woman crying every day for 365 days in one year.
Which is haunting.
It also haunting, yes. And that found a way into the story. But in terms of how the story gets written, it's very circuitous. I love the idea of a journal as something a lot of people keep. We all keep journals. And then how do you translate a journal into something more fictional? How do you make that into a story that's not nonfiction, but a story, but still connected to daily life? And I fiddled with that as I worked on the story as well.
I was told many years ago not to ignore names of exhibits and not to read too much into them, which is hard for me because I immediately came to that word impulse, where we talk about that diaristic impulse. Impulse suggests that it's something, as Ed suggests, that it's not something that we want to do. It's something that we almost have to do.
Well, I think there is this impulse to document, and there is this need to chronicle in a way, I think. So impulse seemed like it's the spark that ignites a lot of the work that's in the exhibition.
Mm-hmm. And I assume it's the same for you. I mean, as to you get an impulse, there's an artistic impulse, a creative impulse that says, okay, I want to write about this. I want to explore this.
Absolutely. And I also think it speaks to the creative impulse, which responds well to daily attention. You know, if you're working on an artistic project, probably any project, if you check in with it every day, you keep it alive. If you don't do that, you risk losing touch with it.
Okay. I'm also, I mean, just the idea of day after day also gives it a sense of this is what we do day after day. There is a routine, if you will.
Exactly. And David Shapiro's work is a great example. I mean, it is the sum total of all these little boring bits of pieces and paper and things that run through our hands and we don't even think about them. But when you look at them in aggregate, they really describe a life. You know where this person went, what he did, that he has children, and that he goes to the zoo, buys things at Toys R Us. And so I think it really... it's at once very specific and personal, but it's also the universal. It's the pathway to the universal.
I was go ahead.
Well, just one other thing about the exhibit that ties into that are these. It's an ongoing process. So that I love the way the exhibit includes work that is still being made. So
right.
there are these paintings by Byron Kim that he makes every Sunday, I think, and during the course of the exhibit, he's going to send in a new one every Sunday. So the exhibit itself is still being created day after day.
Day after day. I've been playing this game online that is called Phrases with Friends, and it's sort of a Wheel of Fortune type game where you play against people and you spin the wheel and it comes up and says, okay, this is worth 800, and then you pick a letter and then you try to come up with a phrase. And the category the other day was everyday actions. And I thought, oh, okay. And the games and previous things in that category have been brush your teeth and go to bed and, you know, make lunch, that kind of thing. And this puzzle was giving me a bit of a moment. And then I realized that the answer to the puzzle was run over a squirrel with a car. And I thought, well, that's not exactly an everyday activity. You know, it's not an everyday action, run over a squirrel with a car. So it took me a few minutes because I just don't think of that. And I thought it odd. But maybe your day may vary. And I sort of thought of that while reading the catalog. Of, you know, your day after day may vary. Who knows what you're doing every day?
That's
maybe your day is a little more, you know, horrific. Or, yeah.
That's Squirrels Day. It was not good.
I know. Poor squirrels every day. Another one. But I like that idea of how not only living our life, but recording it in some way.
Mm-hmm. And capturing it, and
I think that's
really important. I mean, to sort of capture that day, capture the moment, and I think there are a number of artists in the show whose work sort of revolves around that idea.
And Ed, it seems to me, and certainly being very familiar with your work, that much of your work is diaristic. I mean, much of your work is very personal.
Absolutely, yeah, and it's that transformation between the personal and the fictional where a lot of energy can come from, and that's the challenge of the work, to somehow leap from the everyday to something that can hold up a story, hold up a novel. And it might be a good chance to talk about Scott's novel too, because he'll be reading with me tonight, and his book is called The Working Theory of Love. And one of the central parts of that novel is that they're trying to do an artificial intelligence computer. And the way they're doing it, it's a interesting part of the plot of the book. The way they're doing it is they have the diaries of a man who happens to be the narrator's father, and they're taking the diaries in order to construct someone who will be mistaken for human. So it's almost, it's like going backwards. Instead of being writing a diary and making it into a story, in this novel, they're using the diary to make a human being somehow.
Mm.
And it's a great book, and he's a great reader.
Wow. And I would think to be immersed in, go to an event like tonight's where mm-hmm. you're immersed in the words and the images around you must be a very powerful experience.
I think it will be.
Yeah. How long is it you're up till when?
Well, the exhibition's up through April 6th.
Okay.
And the reading is tonight at 7 p.m., but the museum will be open, so people will have a chance to see the exhibition before the reading begins. So.
What does the, when you think of exhibitions, when you think of things, how much of it comes from what is available when you think of Ed's work and what is available to you on campus as well as the greater world at large?
Well, I think the idea comes first, the largest idea in its fullest realm. And then I think curatorial work is always the struggle between the ideal and the real, what you can actualize, what you can make happen within the resources you have and the budget you have. And so I think those are kind of that's the tension that pushes a curatorial project forward.
And budget, right? But I mean, and then you look at what you do, and it makes it all the more impressive.
Well, and it's about what work is available, artists are interested in participating. So there are a lot of moving parts to it, and I think that's sort of the fun and the challenge of that. So, bringing Ed and Scott tonight to read, and because their work does sort of turn on this sort of day aspect of day to day in the diary and the journal, I think just makes it a richer experience for our viewers. And I think we're looking for different ways for people to enter and engage with the work that we show. And that's important to us.
You were going to say it?
Well,
maybe not. I'm sorry. I thought you were going to interject. When you think of this in total, and you look at it and look back, it also reflects the many moods that we go through, I guess, in a day. And I assume that has to go into your selection as well, into the curator selection.
Yeah, I think it does. I think, we want to get to the place where, you know, these activities really define what it is to be human. I mean, these efforts, these small trips on the subway, these inconsequential pieces of paper, these daily chores and daily activities and interactions. And I think that's, you know, where we want to go in the larger sense is how do these things define what we are.
Jenna Riker is the director of the University Art Museum at SUNY Albany. Their website is albany.edu/museum. Day After Day is up through April 6th. And again, you can find out more information at albany.edu/museum. Ed Schwarzschild's author website is edwardschwarzschild.com. His latest book is The Family Diamond. He will read, as will Scott Hutchins, at the museum tonight at 7 o'clock. And again, you can find out more information at albany.edu/museum. Janet, Ed, thank you so much for being here today. A great pleasure to see you both.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks
so much.
Thank
you so much. After our tune for today in NPR News, we'll hear a gallery tour of Day After Day. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.